Hey, good morning to all. It's certainly a blessing to be here, to hear all of the wonderful lessons that have been presented. First of all, I would just like to take this opportunity to thank this congregation. Thank Brother Tommy Hicks for the invitation to speak on this lectureship today, one that is much needed. I believe the masked man need to be unmasked. Because even in the church today, sometimes we allow Satan to hitchhike. He's paying his fare. There's a place prepared for him. Let's not help him do his work. We're here to do the work of the Lord. Thank the eldership, the leadership here for this wonderful lectureship and your vision that you have here in this area. Keep on keeping on. There's a work to be done. Let's work until the Lord come back. As I look around and I see many sisters and brothers, I want to encourage you, take a stand for the Lord. We have many people sitting on the premises instead of standing on the promises. And we need to get up. Before you know it, this battle is going to be over. You're going to have to stand before the judgment to give an account for what you have done in this life. And we don't have to come with any type of excuses or what have you. I believe Satan have a bag full of excuses if you want one. My Lord didn't give me an excuse for not waking me up this morning. Because I already know the plan that he have laid down before the foundation of the world. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And that is for each and every one of us to move forward. I took on a work in Syracuse, New York, and met several loving individuals that were struggling to go forward to preach God's word to the lost. Syracuse is a very, very fruitful area. People are hearing the word. They are obeying. But it's a sad tragedy that is happening there, too. Many from the denominational world are lost because they believe that the church is a building. We don't have a building at this time. But that doesn't hold us back from going forward with the word of God. We've got to preach it when they want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it. Because in the judgment, no building will be represented there. Only Christian. The church is the people. As we look at from the ecclesia, it is the call out. This morning, my subject is Satan, Bible, Analyze. Ever since Satan had deceived Eve in the garden, there have been sin. Sin have been functioning within the fabric of every society since then. For centuries, man have wrestled against the evil principalities of the world. Satan have done his job, and he have done it well. Vast number of people are constantly being deceived and discouraged from even trying to even run the Christian race. Numerous religions and denominations are splitting over issues and values in worship. Largely due to the division, man have designed their churches which cater to their own desire. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end is death. I said it is no surprising that mere men such as Anton LaVey would choose Satan principle as the foundation of his own religion and for establishing his own church. In Ephesians 1:22, it says, Christ is the head, of the church. Life in this world had become more valuable than God's promise of eternal life. I preached a lesson one time, me, myself, and I are a deadly trio. We've got to stop looking within and look out. I'm reminded of an article that I read one time about Sherlock Holmes and Mr. Watson. They were on a camping trip one time, and Sherlock leaned over and he nudged Mr. Watson. And he said, "Wake up." Watson woke up and he said, "What do you see?" He said, "Well, I see the Big Dipper. I see the North Star." And Sherlock said, "Don't you know that someone have stolen our tent?" We need to understand that sometimes we miss the things that are very important to us because we have our eyes on other things. We brought nothing into this world, and we're not going to take anything out. Regarding the motive for man doing such things, God made it plain, saying, "Men shall be lovers of themselves," in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. LaVey tried to use man's instinct as a basis for the claim of unavoidable urges or part of the human nature. In doing, he attempted to bring doubt into our mind. Let me be perfectly clear with this. When doubts show up, don't you doubt God. Doubt the doubter. We have turned around to let the doubter allow us to doubt what God can do. Don't you never doubt God. That is the tool of the devil. We should have our minds made up that I'm going to follow the Lord and do his will. God never said we would not sin, but every day we must bury that old man of sin and press forward. In 1 John 1:7 it said, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." We must bury that old man daily and press forward. In 1 John, that is a continual action. It means every day when you get up, you must continue to press forward and do God's will. We have to be self-motivated. The Bible said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." A lot of time when we get up, we say, "I'm not myself until I can get my first cup of coffee. I'm not myself until I can get on my knees and thank my maker for watching over me all last night." We need not put anything before God. God always should have first place in our lives. When Eve was deceived in the garden, she put a question mark where God put a period. Don't you never put a question mark where God put a period. Today in Lubbock, I believe it's the law all over the nation, when you see stop, you stop. Well, she saw stop, but she continued to let Satan rattle on. And she was deceived. We have to rebuke the devil by standing on the word. We can't compromise God's word for nobody or nothing. Yes, I believe Eve was curious about what the devil had to say. Why was she so curious about what the devil had to say? Because if she woke up with her mind fixed on God and what he had done for them. You know, sometimes we wax fat and become fools. We forget who we belong to. And I believe She forgot who she belonged to. And for a moment, it only took a twinkling of an eye that she gave in to Satan. I say again, Satan is a hitchhiker. Gas has cost too much. Let him pay for his own ride. On April the 11th, 1930, in Chicago, Illinois, a son was born to Augustus and Joe LeVay. They named their son Howard LeVay. At the age of 7, he started being interested in magic and the occult. He became particularly interested in hypnosis and handwriting. LeVay enjoyed hearing stories from dark literature. Do you know anything about Harry Potter? Watch out what your kids read. Anything to keep them quiet. The television had become the babysitter. Have you taken time out to watch some of these cartoons lately? You might as well look at Another World or Days of Our Lives. That's what it's about. You just don't go by and turn on the television and leave it to the kids to turn to what they want to watch. LeVay loved these type of characters. Tommy is a very good preacher. A lot of folks say, I would like to be like Michael Jordan. All of us that preach may have different styles of delivery, but I want to be like Christ. That's who I want to be like, because it's the word that goes forth and it will not return unto God void. At a young age, he kept to himself. He had many talents, but perhaps his greatest talent was the keyboard. That just brings me back to instrumental music in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. It says, speaking to yourself in songs and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Maybe mama should have sang them some old spiritual songs. Am I right about it? We've got to be careful what our kids listen to. All of these rap lyrics and different things, I don't even understand the English. You're talking about unknown tongue. I don't even know what to be saying. But those kids, they can break that thing down and they can tell you about Jay-Z and this one and that one. We've got to pay more attention to what is going on around us. He was interested in those type of things. He was an outsider. He often skipped school and later on he dropped out. One thing I want to tell you, one day your kids are going to grow up and they're going to leave home. I got a call back from my daughter. This is her first year at the University of Buffalo. She gave us a call about a couple of weeks ago. She said, Mom and Dad, I need to talk to you. Put it on speaker. We said, go ahead, talk. She said, I want to tell you something. She said, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart that even when I didn't want to go to church, I had to go. She said, you took time out to have home Bible studies, devotion, and I really appreciate that. But she said, you know, it's just now kicking in who Christ is. It's just kicking in about his church that he purchased with his blood. She said, you know, I got 4 other young ladies who would like to go with me to church on Sunday. She said, what am I going to do? Because they're coming and they want to go. I said, call the church, set up transportation for them to get out. Let me tell you this. Before our kids go to school, they need to be homeschooled. I'm not talking about 1 + 1 = 2. I'm talking about study to show themselves approved unto God, knowing who God is. It'll come home to roost one day. And when it comes home to roost, it will bring tears to your eyes. You'll say, thank God I couldn't help but hold back the tears because I was just so happy to understand that she was on the right track and she was out there telling those individuals that were lost, come unto the Lord before it's everlasting too late. She is out there witnessing. Now, I saw her sitting back, but let me tell you something. Sometimes we figure that it's not getting through, but they are watching me and you, the life that we live. And if Christ is not first in our lives, I want to tell you something. They'll let you know that too. But it's always good when they let you know. And I feel like tooting my own horn. Thank God. That's one. But I've got seven more. Amen. 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 Yeah, we're in a battle. Am I right about it? I've got one on my left. I've got one on my right. I've got some future preachers. I've got some deacons. I've got some elders. Yes, indeed, God has blessed us. And we need to take advantage of it. We've gotten lost about homeschool. First of all, start with teaching them the word of God. Teach them how to pray. Because you're not going to always be on the other end of that phone. You're not going to be with them in their freshman year in college. At first, when she went there, she was in tears. But later on, we talked her through it. It reminds me of a proverb where it said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your what? Own understanding. Am I right about it? But in all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your step. And so that's what she found herself doing, trusting in the Lord, because mama wasn't there when she came home. That dinner was on the table. So she had to lean on the Lord. Folks, we need to learn how to lean on the Lord a little bit more. Am I right? Instead of leaning on ourselves. It's all about me and what pleases me. But God have a mission for all of us. My wife told me to stick to my outline, but I had to go over that. We were flying about 3,000 feet, and I looked down. And I said, we needed this. And I thank Brother Tommy for allowing God to lead him in this direction with this about the devil, because we are letting that devil take over in our lives because we don't want to talk about him. Talk about him and kick him out. Put him out at the next stop. If there's a stop sign too far down the road, kick him out along the road. Open the door and kick him out. But you got to get him out. LaVey, let me tell you about him. After he dropped out of school, he joined the circus. This boy was looking for something. He was searching for some acceptance. He even changed his name. LaVey enjoyed the art of observing people. He was watching these men and women while he was working at the circus, those same men and women that attended these sideshows at night. They were the same men sitting down in church on Sunday. Let me tell you something. When I came out of the denominational world, I know it wasn't right. When you can see deacons sweating like bullets that have drank all night, but they are so holier than thou. The preacher doing whatever comes natural. The point of it is that LaVey was checking these individuals out. And it disturbed him that it went so far for him to even abandon Christianity altogether. Because he was looking at me. See, we got to make that thing personal. He was looking at me. And my light was off. Even Motel 6 said, leave the light on. Am I right about it? You need to leave the light on in your life. Christ had turned it on. I'm reminded long ago when I obeyed the gospel, an older gentleman told me, say, well, you're just on fire for the Lord right now. It'll go out a little while. It'll dim down. Let me tell you something. You better be careful. Because if your fire is not burning hot, you need to throw another log on the fire. You need to spend some private time with studying God's word, because no one should be lukewarm saying he's a soldier in the Lord's army. No one. There's a battle out there. Matter of fact, the other day before coming here, I was passing out some tracts and talking with some individuals about the Lord. When I came back, a letter was on my car. And I asked the folks, where did this come from? They said, I don't know. It was on the ground, and we just put it here. Said, that's kind of convenient with all of these others around here. Why you didn't put it on there? I read it. The letter said, you need to be a secret agent Christian. You don't need to be going around telling people about Christ. That was someone that was threatened because the truth was being loosened on them. The truth was being revealed. See, the devil wants us to be silent. When LaVey observed those individuals, their lives were speaking loud. They were saying one thing and doing another. They were singing glory to God on Sunday morning. And they were on Saturday night getting on the good foot. There's something wrong with that. A dancing leg does not belong on a praying knee. We need to be mindful. We're under the microscope, folks. Now, LaVey gave this excuse for doing what he did. What is your excuse? When I went to get some material for this particular subject, every young person that I asked in the bookstore had already read this particular book on LaVey. Kind of knocked me back. First time I heard about it. Yes, I know about it. LaVey didn't understand, and Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. He stopped short. He looked at man, and he said that was good enough. Because the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. So what we do, our actions speak louder than words. We can say all we want, oh, how I love the Lord. Our children are watching us. Not only our children, but Satan have an eye on us. He involved himself in these type of ventures. On Friday night, LaVey held lectures on the occult. Those especially in tune with LaVey started thinking on the occult because they knew about something called the magic circle. LaVey's thinking on the occult became known in the magic circle. It was the members of this magic circle that suggested that he had the basis for a new religion. Oh, you got something good here now. I don't know. We went to bed last night. There might have been a new church started yesterday. My Bible says in Matthew 15:8-9, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Man have gone out to establish their own right. They are building their own churches. They want entertainment. They don't want to hear the old Jerusalem gospel. They've got to be entertained today. The point of it is, when we come together, we need to leave better than we came in. Yesterday, I was close to the Lord, but today I'm a little bit closer than I was yesterday. When I heard those speakers last night, I want to tell you something. It resonated down in my heart that the devil was being unmasked in a mighty, mighty powerful way. We're on the internet today. We have some powerful, powerful books back there. And this lectureship book here, I will tell you, it should beat any bestseller that is out there than in Barnes & Noble. You're talking about a gift? Unleash this on your family. Allow them to see how the devil is so cunning and how he enter into one's life and how he makes them feel as they're in control, and knowing that the devil is in control all the time. LaVey performed Satan baptism and funerals. He also released an album called The Satanic Mass. I told you about that music. Watch out. The devil knows the latest music too. You think he's in the top 20? We need to understand. Everywhere you run, the devil is trying to head you off. With the publication of this book and the media attention it received, LaVey became increasingly popular. LaVey became ill and he died on October the 29th. I said LaVey became popular. We live in a world now with globalization, where China is our top importer now. And when we go to the stores now, it doesn't make a difference what we buy. One time we used to buy American, right? But today it doesn't make a difference. That's what religion is all about. They are catering to men and women what they want. It's not about what we want. It's what God commands us to do. Too many people are self-centered. It's what pleased me and not pleased God. The point of it is that we have to come to the point to recognize that this God that we serve is able to provide all of our needs. But the point of it is that we want to give in to these urges that we have. And the same thing that LaVey, he wanted to give in to these urges that he had. He said, man, his instinct is crying out for much more. And the God that we serve want to put chains on him. God doesn't want to put chains on us. He wants to set us free. But the point of it is, we are like the show, and many of you have seen that, Andy Griffin, that fellow called Otis, where he would come in after he had his fill. He knew where the keys were. He could do it blind, and he would open the door and let himself into the cell. Many folks have become like Otis. We need a good drink of God's word to sober up. Not black coffee, but God's word. The Bible said you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We need to understand, at first glance, the Satanic Bible may appear to be just an average book. Giving it a close look, one's attention is quickly diverted. As you look at that star that Brother Mosley did the other day, talking about the five-pointed star with this location on the cover of the center of this Bible, no, this is not an ordinary star. This is one that serves as a trademark for the Church of Satan. I was blown away when I saw that list. I said, I've got to have me a copy of that. Our kids are going into the stores today. I want that. It looks nice. And we don't have a clue what they're out promoting. You need to be careful. You even have to research what you're buying now. What does that mean? What does this symbol mean? I was telling Brother Dale the other day, I said, we're wearing things out there and folks are giving us the thumbs up and say, oh, you with Satan. What? What did I have on? Do I have on an upside down cross? What do I have on? Be aware of your surrounding. We need to understand that Satan is on the warpath and he is seeking to destroy us. He doesn't want to leave a trace. And we need to be aware of what Satan wants to do. Now, the book of Satan is one of the shortest books, the Satanic Bible. This book is closely associated with fire. LaVey uses witness to stir his reader's sense and prepare them for what is to come. The book of Satan attacks the core element of Christianity. It makes a mockery of the moral belief upon which our society was founded and places Satan in a position of being a victim. Mama, why can't I go to the club? Mama, why can't I hang out with my friends on the block? Mama, why can't I do this? Daddy, why can't I do that? Oh, I'm just overcome. I can't do nothing. I'm a victim. No, baby. I want to keep you from being a victim. I want you to understand that these choices that you make, one day that you may not be able to overcome. Our children right now, when they begin to walk, when they begin to speak, when they begin to say dad and mama, they are learning then, and they are watching us. I saw a little left-handed young man the other day throwing the ball. Where did he learn that from? He saw it from someone. My little young men, they're on the front row in church on Sunday morning. They're dressed in their Sunday best. If you didn't know it, you wouldn't know who was preaching that day. But they're dressed. When they come out, they are not coming out to go to the beach. They are coming out to worship God. They are learning now at an early age. Open your Bible. Yes, they have their little testament. Yes. They may not be able to read every word, but when you get out there, everybody have the outline. What did you do? Well, I have 2 John, verse 9. I'm talking about 4 and 5 year old. Gonna be some strong gospel preachers. I came into the church at a later age. Denomination, the devil had done his work well on me. My mom, she was 76 years of age when she obeyed the gospel. My daddy, he was 81. My dad was a Methodist. My mom was a Baptist. I didn't know where to go. I asked mom, I said, what should I do? She said, read your Bible. Read your Bible. But there was a hungering and thirsting for the Lord's word to do his will. I became a member of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. My wife was on the choir. And I thought I had arrived. I said, I'm at the right place now. But a brother one day knocked on my door. Said, would you like a Bible study? Because I was still searching. Mormons would come by. Come on in. Sit down. Let's talk. But it wasn't there. It wasn't right. But when I got with that member from the Lord's church, and he sat down with a Bible study, he didn't leave a stone unturned. Because what was revealed to me on that day, it was the Lord's church. It wasn't LaVey's magic circle. It's just what it is, the magic circle. It'll fool you to the day of judgment. He's being revealed today. You're being able to see every trick, every sleight of hand that he will try to throw at you. And let me tell you something. LaVey did not believe in Satan. This was something that he could do that pleased his urges. He wanted to live on the edge because he told them, he said, go out and have as much fun as you want to. Go out. LaVey had 3 children to that marriage. When he died in a Catholic hospital. Boy, I tell you, people do some of the weirdest thing I ever seen. Now, he lived as a Satanist. But when it came time to die, you'll kiss a dog. Am I right about it? Oh, you're ready to talk now, are you? You're ready to talk. But the point of it is, you can go so far down the line that you can't turn back. It's too late. They cremated LaVey. His ashes was given to his relative that they could use for ritual. See, these folks didn't believe in witchcraft. He believed in that you need to ask and place a curse on someone and wish that they die, but when they die, be thankful that they die. Now, where is this witchcraft? I heard about that hex he put on you last night. There is no kind of hex in the world but the hex of your mind, letting that slip into your mind and letting this kind of garbage slip in. We need to be aware of it. And our children are reading it at an alarming rate. They go off to college and they're reading everything that the young man say, this is not what I thought it was going to be. They were looking for a bunch of hocus pocus. This man is just looking for an inceptor that you would say, go ahead and do your own thing. We need to understand today that this thing is creeping in all over, and we need to be aware of that. As I come to a close at this time, I want to encourage you, because LaVey said, the God that you say may be yourself. He wants you to raise up and take your rightful place as being a God. The point of it is, I have young men in my house. The oldest one is 12 years old. When he get old enough, they tell me to get in the house, cook the bacon. It's time for my bedtime, take your bath. It's time for him to go. The point of it is that you need to realize who you belong to. You understand? Because the moment we enter sin, as Eve did, it's time for us to go. That's why I'm so glad that the prodigal son is in there. It shows us that we can turn back. But let me tell you something. You may not end up at the hog pen like the prodigal son. You may die before that time. Thank God for his word that I can go here 24/7. Because God have blessed us so that we're able to wake up and clothed in our right mind, that we can study his engrafted word, and that we can do those things that are pleasing in God's sight. We need to understand that God woke us up this morning and he started us on our way. And we need to go forward and we need to do as God have commanded us to do. As I said, this globalization and this consumer driven community, they want what they want. They are selfish. I want this color. I want that color. My young son said, I want a pair of Nikes. I said, you got $200? No, I don't have it. Well, who had it? You got it. No, I don't have it. Let me tell you something. You can get a pair of $1.99 shoes, because the same thing that the $200 shoes going to do, the $1.99 shoes will do. We need to understand that our kids are watching these commercials. They are pulling them away, and there are subliminal messages that are being given forth to our kids, saying, abandon God at all costs. Come on and let the good time roll. We need to understand. We need to engage our kids today. I'm so thankful for that young man tonight, and I want to tell you, we're going to try to get a copy of that to go back to our congregation. We want to set a television up in there, because I don't want to take one bit from it. I want them to hear it in its fullest, and we need to play it about every 3 months, maybe earlier than that, but we want to keep this before these kids. We are losing our kids at an alarming rate, and let me tell you something. It's not like they're going off to camp. It means that they're going to hell if they live in this world and they die in their sin. You can't beg them out of hell. And the Catholic Church have something called purgatory, that you can go and pay money unto the Catholic Church and you can pray them out. Let me tell you something. Once this life is over, you will feel, if you haven't done what God have commanded you, have mercy on your soul. You have wrote a check and it will be cast. We need to understand that this God that we serve, he loves us enough to tell us the truth. Paul said, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? If you're here today and you're subject to the invitation, if you're sitting on the edge and you haven't heard all of these lessons that have gone forth, I encourage you to roll it back while the blood is still running warm in your vein, that you can do what God have commanded you to do. Let me tell you something. It's later than it ever have been in all the world. Everything have a time. This book, Unmasking the Devil, have come at the right time, at the right place, and we need not leave it here in Lubbock. We need to take it back to Syracuse. We need